One part of life that never really changes, whether it's here or anywhere else, is the relationship between the male and the female. Do you know the name of the greatest battle hymn? Here Comes the Bride. When my mother and father got married, I wasn't there. I was at home minding the kids. The music that they played was the entry of the gladiator. I saw. Woman looks on men as vain, egotistical, boring creature, concerned with nothing other than himself and his own comforts. Whereas man looks upon the female soft, feminine, something that brings forth his protective instincts, something to be cherished and loved, something to be placed upon the highest pedestal and adored. He also finds her the most vain, boring, egotistical creature. Do you know why God created man before he created woman? He couldn't stand the thought of Eve leaning over his shoulder telling him what to do.
I'll give him two arms and a nice big head and a body, flat chest, lovely strong chest and big legs. I'm one of those. Give him two of those. I like those.
Women don't trust men either. Do you know that Eve would wake up every morning and count Adam's ribs? If I were God and I designed women, I would design them differently. I would have put your boobs on your back. Not much to look at, but great to dance with. Can you imagine going up to Margaret Whitlam and saying you're doing a great job? Trying to tap her on the back? Actually, when God designed women, he designed the most beautiful creature in the world. He gave her eyes with depth, beautiful hair that crowned her very presence, lips soft, gentle, skin of the most ravishing complexion. He gave her long, beautiful legs, soft, wobbly bottoms, and bosoms kissed as if by a red ruby. And then he gave you a mouth and screwed it all. And women are always determined to have the last word. I was in court in London recently, and there was a woman in the witness box being questioned by counsel. They said, your husband died? She said, he did? The counsel said, what were his last words? She said, he didn't have any. I was with him till the end. And relationships between men and women pall after a time. The man went to a doctor and the doctor examined him and he said, I'm terribly sorry. I must tell you that you have a heart condition and you must not do anything that causes excitement. You must not gamble. You must not drink. You must not smoke. And the fellow said, what about sex? He said, only with your wife. Remember, no excitement. You get a couple that have been married for quite a long time lying in bed one night. They wake up, they look at one another. He said, would you like to make love? And she said, yes. So he kisses her and she kisses him. They fondle and they caress. But there's no spark. Nothing happens. It doesn't come alive. And he says, can't you think of anyone? She says, no. He said, neither can I. Let's go back to sleep. All I can say, actually, is if you're going to have some sort of understanding with a member of the opposite sex, I think you must make sure that you know just a little bit more about them before you jump in feet first.
Thank you.
Mm. Mm. Oh! The bubbles go up my nose. Pierre, this has been such a wonderful evening. Beautiful food and all that wine. Oh, pardon.
Do you know Daphne? The romantic candlelight. You do not look a day over 14.
I'm not.
Yes, Mike? Good evening. Is this where the wife swapping party is?
Sure is. Come on in.
Bring her in, gentlemen.
I can't go on. All he thinks about is sex. Sex, sex, sex. 3 times a night, 4, 10. If it's a good football match, 20, 40 times. 7 nights a week, on and on. Morning, afternoon, tea break, evening. During the commercial breaks. 10 o'clock, epilogue. Oh, it's terrible. I can't stand it anymore. I just can't stand it.
My lord, ladies and gentlemen of the jury, I stand before you charged with the crime of murder. But I throw myself upon the mercy of this court. Before I was married, I was a quiet, yes, gentle, timid man. I liked my job. Simple though it may have been, and I enjoyed my little comforts. But then I married. And only then did I learn of her drive, her ambition. She drove me. Day and night, she pushed me. Into this, into that, onto this committee, onto that committee. The pressure began to build up. It grew higher and higher. Until I could stand it no longer. And then one night, when we were in the cellar, I cracked. I picked up this axe. I turned to her. And I hit her. And I hit her. And I hit her. And I hit her.
Gerald! Gerald? What are you doing in the cellar?
Just practicing, my dear.
Just be careful now if you're invited to the cellar tonight. All the fellas will be checking it out, won't you? What have we got now? Commercial break. I don't know about you people at home, but I've been having an argument here. Another part of life that basically never changes is what we call the eternal triangle. But different nationalities react to this in their own peculiar way. And I think the best way I can demonstrate what I'm talking about is to show our impression of how other nations see themselves as the husband-wife and lover. For example, how would the Italian react when he comes home to find his wife in bed with another man?
No.
French would surely approach such a common occurrence with a little bit of what we call Gallic panache.
Oh, c'est mon mari!
Bonjour. Allez, ménage à toi.
Ménage à toi? Magnifique!
Très kiki!
Entre dedans!
Whereas in the same situation, the Englishman would react in a totally unpredictable manner. Sorry, I screwed that up. That wasn't the Englishman at all. That's a Swede. The Englishman would react in a totally unpredictable manner.
Oh, gosh! How could you? I'd as soon turn my back and go up to the city on business, and you're in here doing this. Being frightfully unfaithful to me. And as for you, turning me into a damn cuckold. And as for you, get out! Get out! You hear me? Get out!
Can you find it in your heart to forgive me?
Never. I never.
The Australian male, who is known to love, cherish, and honor his nearest and dearest, would act in a most predictable way.
Don't bring my ear, Bruce!
Aha! Fine, mate, you turned out to be Bruce. Jeez, what a sly bastard. Slipping out of the pub behind our backs, eh? Like a bloody dunny snake taking limbo lessons. I might have known you're up to no bloody good. Well, I'll fix you. Get here. Call yourself a bloody Aussie, eh? Get back down the pub and buy you a shout, you bludger. I won't be home too late tonight, dear.
Which brings us last but not least to the Irishman. He would take the matter in hand and handle it in the traditional way.
Holy Mother of God! So you've got yourself a lover, have you? Well, you won't have him for long.
You blithering fool! You just shot me husband!
You're not my wife! Be good. I'm in the wrong house. Thank you.
I suppose the purest definition of not being able to get together or get it together is a nun and a priest living under the same roof.